Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. As important as music is to the Irish, so too is literature. Stories and storytelling flourish in Ireland and in those of Irish descent scattered around the world, like Irish-American author Sheila Post.
Post's newest novel, Your Own Ones, uses her own family's Irish heritage by telling the journey of Canadian Irish wild salmon conservationist Anya O'Connor. In the book, O'Connor travels to the Dingle Peninsula in Ireland and discovers a 1,000-year-old family tradition of protecting the land and sea, as well as a hidden family history.
Post will be at Irish Fest this coming week, but before making her journey to Milwaukee, she joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski via Skype from Vermont to discuss Your Own Ones. Post starts by explaining why the story is centered on the Dingle Peninsula.
Dingle is this mystical amalgam of wildness and cultural traditions with primitive, pristine nature and a very sophisticated culture all wrapped into one. It's filled with mountains and mist, mountains that roll down to the sea. It's absolutely breathtaking. But not only that, County Kerry is home to some of the remaining homes or relics of Celtic Ireland. So some of the most profound holy wells exist right in Dingle. Some of the stone cairns built by the Celts also are there. And of course, let's not forget that some famous movies have been made of its long beaches. So it's a very mystical, wonderful place. And that's where my family hails from.
Did you know from the beginning it needs to be here, or did it center around the mythology of the place that then influenced what your characters went through?
Well, it would be definitely place first. The fact that my family goes back thousands of years right there in the Dingle Peninsula and in Kerry in general. Some of the best mythological stories about the land of Ireland and the heartbeat of the people emanate from Dingle Peninsula. And of course, the family drama also occurred in Kerry. So it was a perfect match.
Going home to Ireland or reconnecting with Irish roots is often a big theme in Irish literature. So do you find yourself going home when you write about Irish characters, even if you're living elsewhere at the time?
Absolutely. You know, being a first generation Irish American, I have more relatives in Ireland than I do in the United States. And so our parents would always talk about home. And so home for many of my generation of first generation immigrants is really a home that is centered in Ireland or in the old country with kind of a subsequent nod to America. So yes, home is Ireland, and it started there, and life still revolves in Irish circles around old Ireland.
How does this passion of place feed you as a person and then as a writer?
Well, the passion of place is so profound for me. Having been born right on the shores of Lake Michigan in Hyde Park, and ending up doing my doctorate there, going back to school there years later, being brought to the shores and the ocean of County Kerry every summer, going from Lake Michigan to the ocean, place became a central focal point in my life. And I've learned both through my academics and my areas of specialization of Thoreau and Herman Melville, who wrote about the sea, and Thoreau, who wrote about the woods and the mountains and nature herself, and also studying my Celtic heritage. I mean, I couldn't be anything but a place-based novelist.
I like how you've referenced nature herself, and that kind of leads into one of the main themes of your book, or even in Irish literature. It features a lot of strong female characters. And your main character, Anya, is named after the Celtic goddess. And it's all about the culture that worshipped women, nature, and love. So how do you incorporate Celtic literature in a modern novel that still represents the importance, especially to readers who perhaps know very little about it?
Well, that was the big writing challenge, of course. If one does know one's Celtic mythology, the names of the characters in the novel will resonate quite meaningfully. However, if one does not, people like Maeve and Anya and Murrish Fitzgerald are simply names of characters, and hopefully they work for the and readers who do not know their Irish mythology. The point there is that history does repeat itself, of course, right? And while James Joyce talked about history being a nightmare from which we never awaken, I wanted to take that as a challenge, a writing challenge, to offer history as a dream to which we can return time and time again, and use that dream as a way to move into the future. And that, of course, is why I use the paradigm of the wild salmon. The wild salmon in ancient Ireland was the symbol of wisdom, and it was the organism who linked the physical world with the mystical elements of the universe. But also, interestingly enough, the wild salmon steps back to move forward. So, in other words, after the salmon are born, they travel north by Greenland and Iceland from the shores of Ireland, the rivers of Ireland, as well as Atlantic Canada, but only to return to the rivers of their birth. And I saw that as the key paradigm, the key symbol of the Irish-American and Canadian-American immigrant experience, that we are Americans or Canadians, but we also tend to return to the old country to rediscover our former cultural selves.
With the symbol of salmons as a focus of the story, readers perhaps unexpectedly get a good education about the issues surrounding the restoring and promoting the growth of the wild salmon versus fish farms that are more prevalent. You know, you have the family and the mythology, and then you also have present day real food consequences surrounding this issue. So what kind of research went into this? You knew the salmon was a symbol of great cultural and mythology as a focal point for that. But how did you discover all of the issues behind restoring and keeping the wild salmon population and the health implications of food production in other ways?
Well, thank you for asking that question, Audrey. It really is a seminal one related to the novel that is both grounded in the cultural history of Ireland and also in our contemporary culture of food consumption. The wild salmon in Ireland used to be caught by nets. You would simply strap a net from one side to the other in a river, and you would get these big, beautiful, gorgeous salmon, and they would be used for food by people who relied on the fish of the sea for their sustenance. But what has happened, of course, as you know from reading the novel, and many readers say that they will never be able to look at a salmon the same again after reading the novel, is that there has been a movement towards appropriating the wild salmon, putting them in these horrendous nets in the ocean, in Norway and in the Atlantic, even in Ireland, and keeping them in nets and growing them. And they are called farmed salmon, euphemistically known as Atlantic salmon. If you ever go to the grocery store and you see a very bright orange Atlantic salmon, it is a farmed salmon. So much like cows and cattle and pork, and chickens that are raised in containment facilities, they share bacteria and they're very unhealthy. That's why we have diseases like mad cow disease. We now have a disease called mad salmon disease. So I did extensive research based on a family incident of two deaths in the family as a result of such diseases. And it led me to wonderful discussions with the Icelanders about their wild salmon protection programs to Ireland, to Norway, and other places. Now, Prince Edward Island, where I spent half my year, is home to what we call the dreaded frankenfish. There is a company in Prince Edward Island who is now creating genetically engineered or GMO fish from test tubes. And Prince Edward Island is home to some of the oldest strains of true wild salmon in all of North America. So many people are quite distressed over these GMO imposters, as they're called.
Did this aspect of the story have more weight or a symbol of importance to you that then revolved around Anya and her family drama, or vice versa? Because you do fold in, you know, three big aspects of a story into one intertwining focus.
Yes, part of it was based on, you know, personal experience, but then you have to appreciate that, you know, the creative faculties will take an experience from life and it will just, you know, exponentially expound upon it. So, you know, the novel is filled with taints and tinctures of reality and personal experience, but it's also highly creative and fictional. But yes, the stories are intertwined, because when you have an organism like the salmon, who is so revered in Gaelic Celtic culture, and to take that and to turn it into a commodity-based organism that strips it of its cultural relevance and meaning, it's hard to not intertwine that with the personal stories of individuals.
Right. So where is Ireland in terms of supporting a local food economy or the Celtic roots renaissance, as you refer to it in your book? Is there tangible change happening or momentum to function as a sustainable local food economy yet be a part of the global economy?
Yes. In fact, there are all kinds of projects and innovations and strategies happening in Ireland. In fact, the local food motif that is in my novel was based on some of the work of some leading local foodies in Ireland. There is a return, in fact, to family farms and locally raised and grown vegetables and meats, which is fantastic. So I think there's great hope for the future of Ireland in terms of retaining those aspects of their culture that were healthy and sustainable with participating in a global economy.
You have a few phrases that pop up multiple times throughout the book. There's themselves alone, ourselves alone, your own ones, of course, referring to the title. Can you go into how these are used throughout your book?
Sure. Well, the title comes from a very famous album by an even more famous Irish singer, Van Morrison. He did an incredible album with the Chieftains, and it's called Irish Heartbeat. And the song, the leading song, was Your Own Ones. It starts off saying, going back to your own ones, for the world is so cold. Don't care nothing for the soul you share with your own ones. And I found that phrase quite perfect for the title of this novel, because first generation immigrants, when we go back to the old country, we go back to retrieve and reconnect, or even in sometimes just simply connect with our own ones, our relatives and family back in the old country. So that's where the title comes from. And the idea that by creating these incredible ties with our families, extended families, and cultural heritage, we can create a future that is based on those bonds and traditions that also fits into a contemporary framework of globalism, for example, or just contemporary attitudes towards the world. Now, you're referring to Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin in Irish means ourselves alone, and it was the political party that basically fomented the Irish independence movement that resulted in Irish independence from England and an ensuing political civil war. So when Murrish Fitzgerald says, Sinn Féin, ourselves alone, there's something to that. The reference there is the idea that Ireland and other countries in Europe risk being swallowed up by the European Union in the sense that the European Union is an amalgam, a political and economic union, but it is also meandering into cultural traditions of each of the individual countries. And so this novel depicts some of the negative elements of the European Union and the struggle among special certain people in Ireland, particularly Kerrymen, who have always been known in Irish culture as vehemently independent, struggling to find a way to be part of the European Union and contemporary world, and at the same time be culturally independent. And that's what my novel tries to focus on.
I like to ask this question for all the authors that are coming for Irish Fest. What do you think is a quintessential quality or qualities of a book that makes it Irish literature?
It is the ability to portray the heart and soul of the Irish people in a humorous and tragicomic way. That is the essence of the Irish persona, I would like to say. You know, through 800 years of political persecution, the Irish still maintained a sense of charm and wit about themselves that needs to be portrayed in a novel that describes itself as Irish. So I think that you'll see with this incredible festival we're about to have, you're going to find a lot of wit and humor and emotion and melancholy. And it's that amalgam of all of those that I would suggest represent the traits of an Irish novel.
Sheila Post is the author of Your Own Ones, as well as The Road to Walden North. Post takes turns living in Prince Edward Island, Canada, in northern Vermont, and with her family in Chicago and in Ireland.
She will be at Irish Fest in the literary tent and will also be performing a dramatic reading from Your Own Ones on the theater stage.